right, y'all. I am super, super excited. Like, again, this is Jay, and you're on Jay Talks with me, and I am one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. I know I say that a lot, but this one is. Like, we text each other all the time, and I'd be like, what you want? And she'd be like, what you want? And we just get together. But it is my sis here on Tomorrow Network, Women of Tomorrow. I'm here with my sis, Iyana Crawley.
Hey, girl.
Hi.
Don't use your hands too much, because I'm a ball miner, because I didn't get my nails done.
Wait.
I'm just looking at your nails.
You can do like this. Perfecto. When you talk.
So when I talk.
You're going to talk with power.
Expressive. Yes, I'm talking with power.
And you can act like you're quickening. Yeah. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
And back again. Ah, my God today. So what you're going to get in this conversation is a mixture of who we are. Like,
yeah.
We are definitely Black women.
Mm-hmm.
We're moms.
Yeah.
We super churchy at times. Like, God is going to be intertwined into everything we do. Yeah, but we're musicians,
yeah.
Singers, songwriters. But I want to jump into all that you are. Like, a lot of people may not know. They're not privileged to know the Iyana that I know. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, when I met at her house looks like an Airbnb. Let's start there.
Thank you.
It's so cozy, so homey. Like, every room has a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Every room, like, and it's just, like, and I'm going to talk about your book, Pieces of You.
Yes.
But, like, I can see that in everything about you.
Wow.
I see that in your home. I see it in your car. I see it in the different ways that you wear your hair. So, mm-hmm. I hope in this interview we'll get to, like, dig in and get to know a little bit more about you. I want to start with this one.
Yeah.
Because I was just at one of your shows recently,
mm-hmm.
and the lady called you a name. She called your name. She tried, and from the back, you corrected her real nice.
I did.
So tell the people, how do we pronounce your name? Because it's spelled Y-apostrophe-A-N-N-A.
Apostrophe capital A, let my mama tell it.
Uh-huh.
Listen, I was doing a play back at home,
uh-huh.
and the announcer announced my name wrong. They said, my mother from the audience said, I named her Iyana. It's Iyana, like Iyanla, like Yvette. So the Y is pronounced as an E. The apostrophe separates the E to give you a little Selah moment and come in with the Ana.
So it's Iyana.
It's Iyana.
So I even say it wrong, so I'll be like, Iyana.
Well, if you say it fast, sometimes when I say my name, people are like, you saying Miana? Because I say my name is Iyana. So, but it's Iyana.
Because you'd have to kind of like, Iyana.
Yeah, Iyana.
You have to say like,
That's why the apostrophe.
Oh, like Netflix.
Is right.
You know the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It scares me sometimes.
Iyana.
But it's Iyana. It's Iyana.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's so pretty. You know what? Fun fact about me too. Mm-hmm. My middle name mm-hmm. is real ghetto.
What is it?
Latricia.
Mine is Monique.
Monique ain't ghetto.
Yes, it is.
Girl, everybody in our age group, you know, it's like, I like a good Monique.
Okay.
And you either get like something like a Monique or you get something with an Ia at the end. So like the fact that my middle name is Latricia. But this is how you spell it. L-A apostrophe capital T.
See?
R-E-E-C-I-A. My mom put a whole tree in my middle name.
There you go. It gives that pause moment.
She said it's Latricia.
Latricia.
Netflix.
No, this is tomorrow.
Oh, this is tomorrow. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Not yet. We got to get the network right. All right. But yes, so I think that was important for people to hear from you and your mother. But back in the back, that lady said, coming to the stage, Iyana Crawley. She said, it's Iyana.
That's right. She called me Iyana.
Oh, she did. She called you Iyana.
Why don't you say I for the Y? Because this A-E-I-O-U and sometimes Y, like on Curly, like on Truly.
Uh-huh.
So it's an E.
Yeah, she definitely called you Iyana. Iyana.
It's okay.
Iyana.
I've been called Wyana.
Ooh.
My teachers used to say, Miss Crawley, pronounce your name, because they did. So I appreciate them doing that.
What was the most that people called you in growing up?
Iyana.
Iyana.
Because they couldn't get the Iyana. So I'm affectionately known in my family as either Yanni Poo, or my mother calls me Yucky.
Oh!
Uh-huh. And back at home, because I was on the scene of music, and I know we're going to get into that, but I'm affectionately known as Ya Boogie.
Ya Boogie!
Yeah.
Ah! And then, you know, every time I think of you,
uh-huh.
because I know where you're from,
uh-huh.
like, I think a go-go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. People only associate go-go with doing the butt.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the only national, really, song that they know. But Fantasia pushed go-go in her set. 3 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So you would have to go. I took Amber one time when
really?
She came to my city.
Shouts out to Amber Bullock. That's the third person in our little group, right? Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
That's my 411. I love you.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
But she went and she had a good time. That's because, you know, I think she loved the drums.
Uh-huh.
We know why she loved drums.
Yeah, we
do. But
she drums, got a thing for drums.
Percussions and bass is me. So go-go is percussion driven.
Okay, so tell the people where you're from.
I'm from Washington, D.C., born and raised D.C., Southeast.
She's a D.C. girl all the way.
All day long. All day long.
D.C. girl that love a little go-go.
Love a lot of go-go.
Love a lot of go-go.
Yeah, I got my start. Not really my start, but I pay homage to them because every night for almost 7 nights a week, I was on stage with 1,000 people, make 500 to 1,000 people a night. And I was able to have that crowd participation and just being in front of a live crowd and live instrumentation. That's why I do so good live.
Yeah, you do. You captivate. Like I said, I just recently, anytime I see her on a flyer, especially now that I've moved to the Atlanta area, you know, so she's from D.C., but now lives in Atlanta. And I just moved here about 6 months ago, and I'm super happy to be here with my big sis. Mm-hmm. But anytime I see her on a flyer, I try my best to come. And not just, you know, I don't necessarily just like to say I came to support you. No, I'm okay saying I came because I'm a fan.
Wow.
Like, I'm your friend, and I consider you as my big sis, but I'm literally a fan of you. I love to see you in your element. I love to see you do what you do and all the things that you do.
Thank
so let's talk about that.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the things that you do. Who is, because like I said, I've seen you on stage to sing. Mm-hmm. That was the most recent thing. I just saw you do a show here in Atlanta, but then I've seen you on stage plays. Yeah. I just saw you on a flyer for, it looked like a TV show or a movie or something. Like, I see you doing all kinds of things.
Yes.
Like, so who is Iyanna?
Iyanna is a woman of many, like you said, many sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm an actress. I'm a mom, right? Two boys. That's my first.
Two big old boys.
A lot of people wouldn't know. My oldest is 29. My youngest is 16.
And let's pause there, though.
Uh-huh.
Because when I first saw that, I was like, oh, she's a cougar. She got a young man. She said, child, that is my
That's
son.
That's my son.
Wow.
Yeah. Had him at a very young age. They're 17.
Mm-hmm.
But God is good. He's been faithful. You know, I never missed a beat. He's
yeah.
never went without eating and all that good stuff. So I made that decision. So my mother says she knew she wouldn't have to worry about me.
Yeah.
I disappointed them because they thought I was going to give up on my dreams. But
right.
she said, I just knew I wasn't going to be worried about you. And she was right. Like, it was some hard times, though.
Yeah.
Don't let me front. But I did it because I had to make that decision. Okay, you having this baby. You got to do it. So, mom, author,
uh-huh.
All around creative.
Yeah.
I'm my best when I'm creating.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, doctors go study, you know, the physiological parts of your body and anatomy and all that stuff. I don't know much about history.
Uh-huh.
Don't know much about geography, whatever it says.
Uh-huh.
All I know is that I love you. God, I love him and I love what he put in me.
Yeah.
And that's the creativity.
Yeah.
So I make body butter.
You sure do.
Right.
I done got me some of that.
Uh-huh.
Smell real good.
I was a makeup artist. So it's all creative things.
Yeah.
Like you said, my house looked like an Airbnb.
It definitely looks
one. I love creating.
Yeah.
I really do.
When I go to your house, I like to stay in the room that look like Africa.
You do. Because Africa is one of my places that I love. I feel like everybody needs to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it is just beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Not what they show on TV or what you heard. You have to go there and visit and take your shoes off, put your feet on the ground for yourself.
Yeah.
So I've been there twice and going back in December, so I'm excited about that.
Oh.
I'm a traveler.
Uh-huh.
I'm a lover.
Uh-huh.
I'm a friend.
You are,
I'm
for real.
I'm an auntie. I'm a sister.
Yeah.
And what I love about me that I did not like, it's like oxymoron. I like it, but I don't. I have a big heart for
you
people.
Do?
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it sometimes because I'm forgiving,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that's who God made me.
Yeah.
You know?
You're resilient.
Resilient.
You're a boss.
I'm a boss.
You're a boss.
A lovely one.
Yeah, a lovely one.
Remember what we said? I don't know.
You're a lovely one.
A lovely one.
But I love it, though, because it's such a beautiful balance. Like, mm-hmm. That's one thing that I love about you, too, is like you're a strong presence, but you always carry yourself in such a, like, feminine, delicate way. Like, it's like flirty almost. But you've learned a good balance of being. Look, y'all see how she looking at me? baby, she looking at me like, she, girl, you better stop flirting with me, girl. This is my sister. I was like, seriously, like, you have really embodied boss, but still like this beautiful balance of boss and femininity.
I saw it growing up from the first woman, Anna, well, my mom, but then Anna, my grandmother, she was all of it. Revered in her community, her and my granddad.
Yeah.
They were, they had clubs. I remember them having card parties and stuff. I learned my very first, like, how to do hair because of my grandmother.
Oh.
She had gotten cancer, lost her hair. And so she was bringing wigs in the house. And one day she came and said, cut my bang. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. She said, you up here cutting these dolls' hair, cut my bang. So from that, she don't know, she sparked something in me. So I'm a licensed cosmetologist. Also.
Wow.
Absolutely, right? And so my grandfather, because I loved him so much, he was just so loving. He was my first male love, my male crush. And I could say male crush.
Uh-huh.
He's my granddad, but
yeah.
His love was so big for me. I would manicure his nails. He would let me cut his beard, pick his nose, do all that aesthetic stuff. So he gave me that serving type of thing in me, that woman being with the man type of thing. So I learned it at a very early age.
Yeah, but it's woven into every part of you, though. Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, because even like when I come to the house, you cooking, and like even on your social media platform, like in the morning, you were like, I felt like cooking,
I
y'all.
Did, right. I felt
every
like
time, everything about you, like, it's such a professional presentation, but it feels like home. Mm. And I love that. Mm. I love that about you. And thank you so much for sharing the different sides of you. So let's talk about some of those different sides. Like, I saw you also recently in a stage play.
Okay.
Dream Girl.
Yeah.
Talk about that. What was that about?
Oh, one of my dreams. Mm-hmm. I was literally living a dream in Dream Girls. Got the call. Did the audition. And it was one I prayed for, because I knew it was a precursor to what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
My what I want to do is Broadway, but doing that every night, acting, singing, and dancing, all things that I love to do, but all at one time, it was like, okay, you got to buckle down. So it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know, well, I do know that I can take a role and I can make it mine, but I can also embody it to what it was, because I had some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, you
Jennifer
were
Holliday.
Honey. Yeah, you were Effie.
And then, right, I played Effie, and then Jennifer Hudson playing it on screen.
Yeah.
It was just like, but how can I bring Iona Crawley to it?
Uh-huh.
So it's always, when I'm in a play, it never fails. I'm in a space in my life where I have to take what I'm going through and put it into that. And
yeah.
It almost seemed like I relate to it. Like, she was outside of the norm.
Uh-huh.
She was a thick girl, dark-skinned girl.
Uh-huh.
And she had been cheated on by her friend who she was in a group with.
Uh-huh.
And had to split up. And
then
she had to regain her identity, because she, you know, started out with them. But then, you know, they split apart because one had to look and she was the one without. So I dealt with that.
Yeah.
You know, growing up as a thick girl in the industry back in those times, it was like, you're an amazing singer, but, you know, can you lose a little weight?
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things. So me playing that role, it was just like, Yanni, put yourself in it. I'll never forget. And I know we're probably going to talk about this on Sunday Best. Donald Lawrence said, you know how to tell a story.
You do? Yeah.
He said, so tell the story. So those little nuggets that I've gotten over the years, it goes along with me with any project that I'm doing.
Yeah. And speaking of telling a story, I remember, I know one night, you made this your own.
I did.
You made it your own.
I know what you're about to say.
Honey. Honey, that wig started to slip.
Huh?
In your big sing.
In my big sing.
Big sing.
And I am telling you,
my wig is falling off. No.
I had to keep on going.
Can you tell them what happened with that?
So the scene where me and Curtis, I'm confronting him, because she's at the point, she has come back, Effie. She come back to sing with the group and to find out that she was replaced
by
somebody else. So I'm just like, I love this man. I don't care about this group. I just want him to stay, because I knew him and the other girl was having an affair.
My God.
Okay.
So
I'm telling you. So we in this moment, my wig is on. I feel it slipping. So I'm trying not to do so much movement, but I don't want to restrict my movement, and then, you know, I possibly restricting how I want to sing this song.
Yeah, so fall out of character.
Like, fall out of character. I'm just like, I got to go with it. So I did, oh, and it said, oh, and it fell back. Curtis looked at me. I looked at him with the big eyes. He said, when she looked at me, he said, I know it's go time. I said, I couldn't stop. One thing about musical and plays, it ain't no cut,
right?
Edit. You got to keep going.
So what'd you do?
So I had to play into that thing. I kept it going. I sang. When he walked out the door, I went and picked up that wig like I was mad at it and threw it. The whole audience went up into
Because I wasn't there that night, but I heard the feedback was like, you would have thought that that moment was in the play.
It was planned. Right. I had to go with it. And I had to do something. I had to go back to the very thing that would have shamed me.
That'll preach.
So I had to go back to it and I had to pick it up and I had to use it for my victory. Oh, I think I'm around. Oh, I just got chills. I think, going back to the very thing that had shamed, that could have shamed me. So I went back and I picked it up and I used it. I did. Yeah.
Tell me, how's that played into your life?
So much so that I am now able to take whatever comes my way. And I've always been resilient.
Yeah.
But now it's a thing where I don't dwell on it anymore. Like, if it comes and if it's something that may trigger me, that may bring something back up, it's just like, you got to face it because it's back again for whatever reason. Look at it, assess it, and move past it. Use it. Let it be your fuel.
I love that. Yeah. Because you think about even how I was first introduced to you. And that was through Sunday Best. Mm-hmm. You won. Mm-hmm. I've never done like one of those shows. Yeah, I've never done the competition show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm built for that kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? Because like I'm a creative. I'm not sensitive, but I am protective of my craft. Mm-hmm. And to have people that aren't me telling me what's good and bad, and then the competition mm-hmm. piece, like I'm not really great at that. Tell me about that, like. How do you take, because there were moments on the show that weren't very, so very great.
Right.
But somehow you've taken that and you made it something great. And then I want to talk about even the aftermath of it. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about like.
So that show for me, again, I was in a place. I didn't want to do it. A friend of mine was just like, I'm going to sit outside your house. You got to go audition for this. Because I tried out for American Idol before that. And again, they looked at me, you're beautiful. You're not what we're looking for. Not knowing back then that they already have scripted out what they want.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. So mm-hmm. I took that as, I'm not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. So when Sunday Best came around, it was like, y'all, and plus y'all want me to sing gospel. Y'all know I'm still singing in the clubs. You know,
right.
I'm doing R&B with my uncle and them. Like, come on, I sing on Sunday morning because God gonna forgive me. I can go in the house.
Right.
I'm trying to go to the world and let them know, hey, I done came from the club. Now I'm about to try to be Sunday Best.
Right.
You want me to put Sunday Best on me?
I'm more like a Friday Best.
I'm more like a
Saturday.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
Friday,
Saturday. You know what I'm saying? I'm that girl. Sunday Best, because I'm not that girl.
Uh-huh.
Right? So went, stayed in line. It was very cold outside. I didn't even dress for the occasion. It'd get cold in December. No, what was that? Like November in D.C. So was in the line. And I said, God, if you want me to do this,
I'm going
to have to make this happen because I'm ready to go. Because I'm going to go. As soon as I said that, somebody came outside and was like, y'all are singers out here, so we're going to move y'all in the inside. I said,
all right.
Okay, God.
Okay.
So to speak to that whole situation, it was hard. Again, I don't like competitions either. A lot of people don't know. I'm naturally shy.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
So am I.
Right,
and most creatives that do what we do and do it so well on a stage and mm-hmm. can be very upfront, like because we pour out so much, mm-hmm. we're very introverted. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're very shy.
Yeah. So it was hard work to hear the constructive criticism, the feedback, because every night I wasn't on, you know. But they say when I did Grandma's Hands, that uh-huh. kind of solidified.
That did that.
I did that. But I was afraid because I was in a place. I had just had my son. He was 2, going through a rough relationship, you know, just very insecure, still young, you know, because I had my second baby, you know. Then I was thinking about that. You already had one at 17. Now you got another one. You going and trying to be Sunday best. All of that's playing in my head. But like Donald told me, he said, you know how to tell a story. He said, just tell the story. Mm-hmm. That's how I was able to do grandma's hands like that, because I had lost my grandma, who I talked about earlier, who was very important to me. So I just related that song to her. That's why I was able to put that passion and a heart behind it. But will I do another competition?
No.
No.
Because, you know, that was just, I thank God for it, but I just would never, I wouldn't take myself through that again.
What were your expectations after that?
Ah, what was written?
Oh my God, yeah.
So, and you know, I've moved past that point. So I'm not, you know, your life is what you make it. Even if the expectations of others does not excel or exceed, or they don't meet it, you have to say, okay, what they can't do, I'ma have to do it. Because I just want to thank God for just keeping me relevant.
Uh-huh.
Because it's been, what, since 2009?
Yeah.
I've been.
Because what season was it?
That was season 2. So I was over 2. So this was still freshly out. So, you know, I did get an album. I was dropped from my label a year after my album.
Wow.
I was on another record deal and got out of that one too. Huh. So I just say, okay, God, well, I'm gonna do this independent thing.
That's the thing that people don't understand. People don't know the behind the scenes, the backstory of how what seems so glamorous, the wars that you fight behind. Mm-hmm. People don't know, you know, when people change their mind because they, for whatever reason, you know what I mean? But then you have to figure out, how do I keep this progression going? How do I keep it going? So how's that been? Like that, I said resilience before. Yeah. How's that been for you?
Like we talked about earlier, you know, off camera, the leverage. I use it as leverage, you know? I'm going to always put Sunday Best behind my name because that's what the world know me as. Mm-hmm. And it was a great opportunity for me. It afforded me to be seen all over the world.
Yeah.
To take me to Africa and back, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
So, you know, to speak to that, I wouldn't take it back for the world.
Right.
Regardless to what happened, regardless to, you know, things wasn't done the way it was supposed to be. But I do thank God that I'm out of things contractually, because some people aren't.
Yeah. Ooh. So
that's no shade to anybody, but I'm just saying what my lot was.
Yeah.
But yeah, what my lot is, and I thank God for that I was able to break away and be good and still gain the title, got a car and a cash prize.
So that goes back to what we were saying before about like taking what was meant to embarrass you, or what it goes like the scripture, like what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for good. And that's what I always try to say. I say like the very thing. Because a lot of things, you know, we can't control the other side. Mm-hmm. We can't control, like, even with my failed marriage. Like, I can't make anyone do what they said contractually that they were going to do. Mm-hmm. But God's promise to me is that he's going to take what was left and do double, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask you, before I talk about your book, because we talked about that you're an author, your one woman show. I want to talk about that. And I also kind of want to talk about getting your business. Like,
okay, get in my business.
I mean, you got a boo or something, you know. But I want to know, the Bible talks about, like I just said, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. What are you asking and thinking?
Oh. So these days I'm asking God to really put me on that healing path. I'm still on the healing journey. Like, it's been, I want to say since July, I said, okay, God, I'm giving it totally over to you. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you say you pray before, I pray before I make a decision, da, da, da. But no, really, I'm praying before I make a decision. I'm making sure even the smallest things to trust him. Like if God say, pick up that piece of paper right now on the floor that you'd have walked over 15 times, say, you're going to get it. But no, get it right now. I think he's teaching me obedience.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm asking for right now is just that my latter years would be
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, that's why I'm ready to go to Africa, because I feel like something is there for me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not this materialistic girl. Like, I like to look good and all that stuff, but I can really do away with that stuff. Like, family is everything to me.
Yeah.
Getting my family healed and whole.
Yeah.
Making sure my boys are good, and then making sure I'm smiling and loving and having that joy. You know, happiness is because of happenings, but joy is that thing that can't nobody take away from you, right? So I love being at home in my I buy so many fuzzy slippers.
Uh-huh.
And you, clothes.
Yeah.
I just, you know how I
want. Yes.
She's been to my house. I love.
So
like
cozy.
It feels like home.
Yeah.
It was just prophetic because I want to start a business of decorating. I want people to, when they walk in their home, for it to feel like their home.
Yeah. And that's what, but that's what, like I said, even in your shows, that's something about you that makes everyone feel seen and loved and known, and it feels like home. It feels like a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, like she react like she big mama sometimes, like, come on in now.
I do.
Come on in, baby.
<I do. laughs>
You're hungry?
Yeah.
I made you a little something.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I take joy in that.
I know.
So I really do. And my girlfriend asked me the other day, so what is it? Because I was kind of having a moment. I said, you know, if I could have it my way, I would bring my immediate family down here. We'd just get one big house and live together.
Yeah, so that is not my vision.
Girl.
Oh, God, no.
Ah,
oh, no. Stay right where you are in another state.
No, but look.
Jesus.
But guess what I said? I said, now they have their side, their wing.
Uh-huh.
I have my own.
They got their wing over in another state.
I'm dreaming for big. A
husband? Okay. Okay, you dating?
Yeah. I'm not.
You not?
I'm not. And not because I'm not forcing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when it come, it'll come.
It'll come.
It will.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And he gonna get him a good thing.
What?
A great.
Because he obtained the favor.
Yeah.
And also him, because I... You know, when he
get whoever get her, I'm just saying, because the way she treat her friends, if that is a depiction of how you gonna treat your husband, like I would like my sister, I'm serious, she doesn't let me really lift a finger when I'm in her presence, like, and that's in anything. She driving around, oh God, I'm coming to get you. Where you at,
where
baby?
You at? Where you at, girl?
Honey, I'm coming down the street. Where you at? What you got on? Like, that's why my name for her is Millie. Yeah, she act like an old lady. But Millie, what you doing, Millie? Denise, that's my name. That's my name. But anyways, let's talk about your book real quick. Like Pieces of Me.
Pieced together by you. You is God.
Mm.
So it was derived from, first of all, it's a personal memoir, but it was derived from my woman Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just my one woman show in literature.
Yeah.
Right? So it just talks about my life.
I love it.
Stuff that I've gone through, some ugly stuff that a lot of people probably wouldn't even know about me. I saw somebody share on their Instagram about how she had an abortion and didn't say anything to anybody, but it was eating away at her, so she had to make it a part of her testimony. So I wrote about that in my book.
Mm.
But a lot of people, you know, wouldn't get that deep and invulnerable to open up.
Why do you think that?
It's the shame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the what the people gonna say.
Yeah.
But the Bible says that we are overcome by the blood and the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
And these little girls that flock to me so much, and I know why.
Right.
Because I keep it real with them.
Yeah.
Like, and keeping it real ain't about telling, just doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That ain't keeping it real is healing from your past, and then being able to express or regurgitate what you went through and talked about how you've gone through it, but how you've overcome.
Yeah.
And where you are ain't standing in your victory now. So my book is just, it's just a walk through my life.
Yeah.
For me being a teenage mom, for me, my biological father wanting him so bad, seeing him with another family across the street, right across the street from me, you know, and I have to say this, the man who raised me has been the ultimate father to me.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that he wasn't my father only by my last name.
Yeah.
I am a Jeter.
Yeah.
I've been with that man since I was 3 months old.
Yeah.
So daddy is my daddy.
Yeah.
But just
seeing that biological father being a father to
somebody. Yeah. So which in turn
and right across the street?
Right. Oh, the the church was right across the
street. My God.
I remember running in the house and my grandparents' house and looking outside the window and watching that. So you know what that brought about growing up, how I dealt with men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was a lot. I'm still peeling back that onion because grew up with abandonment issues.
Yeah.
Growing up, I'm not enough.
Yeah.
Growing up with, do he really love me? Do I have, what I need to do to make him love me?
Yeah. What can I do to show?
What can I do to show?
Yeah.
So having to peel back all of those layers. So that's in the book also. Growing up as a girl in D.C., you know, I had friends that we did our thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I ain't always been a saint.
Uh-huh.
You'd be like, you're too pretty. I ain't never that high. Just don't play with me.
Uh-huh.
Don't take me to the other side.
I can go there. Don't let the devil spook you.
But it's a memoir and it's an interactive book. So you can kind of write out some stuff. I'm asking you a question. And I have songs, because, you know, I'm a book of songs.
Yeah.
Songs that I feel like coincides with that day. Then it comes with the scripture.
Yeah.
And it comes with an affirmation. So it's a good thing. Pieces of me pieced together by you.
Yeah. How do they get it?
You can go to Amazon or you can go to my website, iamianacrawley.com.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. For an aspiring artist or creative.
Yeah.
That's maybe gone through some of the stuff, abandonment,
yeah,
abortion, or teen mom, whatever. Can you tell, like, encourage somebody?
Yeah. Just as I was finding my way, I lost my way. But the best way to go is your way and being your authentic self. Don't ever, like we said earlier, take that shame, take that hurt, and use it as fuel. Only you can stop you, really. Trust in God. Keep people around you.
Yeah.
Like my sissy here. If she ain't heard from me, shit, what you want?
I'm on, you know, to.
Keep that village around you that's going to uplift you and keep you encouraged. And you got to, hey, it's a scripture in the Bible that when the man that was sitting by the pool of
Bethesda.
Mm-hmm. And he kept waiting for people to push him
out.
He was just sitting there.
Yeah.
He saw people being active, jumping in this pool. He wanted healing. But he thought, he needed somebody to push him. Man, Jesus said, pick up your bed. You got to get it in yourself, right? Is that what Jesus said to
him?
That's
what he said.
He said.
He said, jump on in.
Yeah, so faith without works is dead. Keep your faith, but you got to do a little work.
Yeah. And that's what I see you do every single day.
Yeah.
I see you do it every single day.
And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes you got to, like yesterday, I said I had a moment. I had to talk to my girlfriend. I had to push myself. And didn't I tell y'all I was about to cut my hair yesterday?
Because
I was going through one of those moments. I was just, I need something different. I was about to shave my hair. Lord said, stop.
Yeah.
Okay? Check yourself.
Yeah.
You're going through a little moment. Feelings are fleeting.
Yeah. Okay? Don't make a permanent decision.
Don't make a permanent decision.
And temporary feelings.
Temporary feelings. So just encouraging you, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, things are going to get easy. You know, just be inclined to listen to whoever you listen. I listen to Jesus. I read my word. Wherever your medium is, you know, listen to that and follow that. And it'll get you there.
And also keep going.
Keep going.
You can follow her on social media because it's very, very encouraging, because she's just the most raw person I know. Like, she'll just be in her car. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
My hair be all over
everywhere,
head.
Okay?
It don't matter.
I'll be like, she's so fine. She don't care, but that's what makes, that's the piece of you that you, like, you give all of the pieces, and I think I love the authenticity. And I appreciate you sitting here and talking with me, girl.
Thank you. And go download my music, too. I have a song called Pieces of Me.
Yeah, tell the people. What else you got? What's next?
Next for me, I told you I won Broadway. A live recording is next because I need the people to see me in every element. And it's gonna be called Sassy Socialist. Guys, I'm giving you everything. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a little gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be inspirational. It's gonna be about how it's just life music.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. How do I keep up with you and follow you?
So, on social media, I am Iyana Soul Sings on Instagram and Facebook, on Twitter. I'm not on there as much. I'm just going to get back on there.
Yes, because your opinions matter.
I know,
I think Twitter is a good, well, I think it's called X now, but yeah.
Is it called X?
I think that's
how long I haven't been on there. Mm-hmm. So, I am Iyana C. Sings, I think, something like that.
She don't know.
I know. But my website is www.iamianacrawley.com. I got some of my, you know, little excerpts on there. I write poetry. I sell products. And yeah.
Yeah, whenever you see her on the flyer, go see it. It's worth it.
Please.
I love you, sis.
Love you too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look.